Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. May the Lord bless this reading, and yea, the peacemakers.
Amen. Thank you, Dot. And I think it's pretty awesome that of all the days that our series that we've been going through on the Beatitudes, to have blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God, is very appropriate. In an Independence Day celebration like that we are having, the theme of peace dominates the Bible. Obviously, sin dominates the Bible. And in fact, sin is why we don't have peace. But peace was in the Garden of Eden to begin with. When God created this world, it was very good. And there was peace. And then when we get to the end, the book of Revelation, we see that again, peace is restored. It's this middle frame that we're in where it seems like peace is so elusive, where we do not have the peace that God has for us. And if we could chart the course of history based on this theme of peace, there was peace on earth before the fall. Man sinned, and peace was interrupted at the cross. Peace became a reality again as Jesus became our peace. We were reconciled to God. And yet that choice is given to each person throughout history. Do we respond to, as Scripture says, the Prince of Peace? And there are 400 references to peace in the Bible. God is tremendously concerned about peace. He longs to bring peace to our troubled souls. That is the most important peace that we can have, is peace with God. And what this peace with God should do is translate into us being, as it says here, peacemakers, making peace with this world. And we're going to dig into that this morning. But there is no peace now, we can freely admit. We look around our world and we can see that it's very true. There is not peace in this world. And we see from the fall that it's because Satan brought sin into the world and man's disobedience that we see this. And Jesus said that he has told us the things that we've been given in his word so that we may have peace. In this world, he says, you're going to have trouble. Sad to say, we're going to have war. We're going to have things. People come against us. And he said, they've come against me. They will come against you. But he says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And that is the victory of our faith, that we have peace that literally, as Scripture says, transcends all human understanding. That we can have peace in the midst of storm. And I've experienced that. And that doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. That doesn't mean that there isn't a sense of loss when we lose our loved ones or we have an accident that is hard to explain and things that take place at this side of eternity. There are no answers. But Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Boy, how we need to let that sink into our hearts. Let me just read that again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. One thing, as we find, is man is not able to bring peace. We don't have peace politically, economically, or socially. The nations, the different political groups, the organizations, the homes of this world don't have true peace. There is no peace because There is not peace in the hearts of man. And that's what Jesus came to deal with. That's what sin has done to us. Sin has given us feelings, desires, motivations that are not good, that are not pure, that are not based in truth. And we're called to recognize that and then turn to God. And we see that in Washington, D.C., how many have been to Washington, D.C.? I have. I've been there. And there are many peace monuments. And I've seen the World War I, the World War II, the Vietnam. We see the Korean, all the different wars. And the thing is, we build one after each war that we've had. And you look at, seems like peace is that brief interlude in human history where everyone stops to reload. Just what's going on right now. Look what's going on in Ukraine with Russia. And the arms race seems to be going up again. We've had a Cold War where maybe we weren't firing bullets at each other and shooting missiles at each other, but still preparing for conflict. It's like this has been the world's history. And Jesus is calling us to recognize that we need him. In fact, the prophecy study that we are going through, we talk about the events that are going on in the world and how God longs to bring peace to our troubled souls, that we don't feel like this world is out of control, even though it sure looks like it is out of control, that we know Jesus has told us about these things, that things are going to happen that are not good. But the bottom line is God is with us through these times and brings peace to us so that we can be peacemakers. We can try to work with people. But what is the meaning of peace? When we talk about peace, what are we really saying? What is the divine perspective on peace? Some people think that peace is just the absence of conflict. We can go next door here, and guess what? There's no conflict in the cemetery. You go out there, you don't see the gravestones getting thrown at each other. No, there's quite peaceful over there. And now maybe some of those people over there during their lives weren't so peaceful with each other. And sad to say, sometimes it's within our own families where there is a lack of peace. And we see this. But God sees peace not as the absence of something, but the presence of something. Biblically, peace is not the absence of conflict as much as it is the presence of righteousness, which brings about right relationships. The prophet Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever." Peace is not just stopping a war. It is creating the righteousness that brings two parties together in love, where we can forgive each other, that we can be able to put up with each other, to hear each other out. Do you think, just think if we could get the political parties to sit down and actually hear each other out. And yeah, it is. It's laughable. It's sad. It is sad. And you know what? I think most people in the country, we could sit down and from different perspectives and work through that. But we have a media. We have the internet, which does everything it can to basically fan the flames of this division. And it's not good at all. And that's one thing I am encouraging you on your, and I'm not on Facebook. In fact, David tried getting me on Facebook, and I was like, nope, I'm not going there. I don't have time to read my emails, let alone get on Facebook. But I see on Facebook some of the postings and then the battles that are going on. And it's like, boy, hopefully in our postings, we're going to try to bring out the heart of Jesus and the truth. We're going to dig into that a little bit here in a few minutes here. But When a Jew says shalom, which means peace, to a friend, he isn't saying, may you have no conflicts. He's saying, I desire for you all the righteousness that God can give. Peacemakers aren't just to stop wars. They are to replace them with the righteousness of God. They not only call a truce between people, but establish a real peace where all strife is forgotten and everyone embraces one another. Wouldn't that be awesome on this 4th of July weekend if we could get together as Americans and work for the good of our country and what is best? And again, the truth of God's word is where we find our strength and the righteousness that God calls us to. And yeah, people don't agree with that, but hopefully we could lovingly, in fact, the Apostle Peter talks about this. He said we should be able to give the reason for the hope that we have with gentleness and respect, and yet at the same time, courage and not being afraid. And many times Christians have relegated themselves to the background, and that's why we've seen such a transition in our country. For years, we've kind of stepped back from politics. We stepped back from being involved in the community square, getting involved with the school boards and local government. And then we see some of the horrible decisions that are being made, and we need to realize we need to be a part of it. God doesn't say that, so, you know, get ourselves away. That's what the Essenes did in Jesus' day, the political party, the Essenes. They said, we just pull back from society. Then there were the other ones, the Zealots, that thought that the only way that they could make society right was to be out there and just shove down people's throats their views. And it's like, both of them were wrong. Both of them. We have to be very careful. Jesus came, and I just love how he met with people. Even when he stood before Pilate, and Pilate was getting a little ticked off at him because he wasn't responding to his questions. And then Pilate said at one point, he says, don't you realize I have the power to basically either condemn you or set you free? And then Jesus responded. He says, oh, you have no power over me except that which is granted you from above. And you know, that is the heart that we need to have. We need to respect people who disagree with us. We need to be able to stand up on our own two feet and be able to express why we believe what we believe. And as we do, that God can bring peace. Biblical peace never evades issues. It isn't peace at any price. The peace that the Bible talks about conquers the problem. It builds bridges between people. I want you to be in prayer this week. This week, Wednesday, we had to move our prophecy study from Wednesday, and this is the reason. I'm meeting with some Native American people, and we are going, remember this, and everyone thinks, oh, Spider Lake is going to buy this. No, we're not. There's a $2.9 million building over in Luck that Ruby's Pantry, the owner of Ruby's Pantry, has, and they want to sell it. And it is a 104-person, used to be a nursing home that they have remodeled into a, it was supposed to be a retreat center, but there's a medical wing with dental equipment, medical equipment. And what we've been talking about is for Northwest Wisconsin having a place where people with drug and alcohol addictions, because we know L.E. Phillips and Chippewa Falls, they just get people through their initial addiction and then there's no treatment program after that. They're sent out and there's just no places, not enough places. There are places, obviously New Reflections and the Men's House here in town, but there's waiting lists to get in there. There's waiting lists at Hope Gospel Mission, at Teen Challenge, all the way. There is such a need for this. And it's awesome. And I am praying because many times the Native American community and the Christian community have not been able to work together. But I'm praying, and I have some good friends that are Native American that we're looking at trying to work together here on this. And so I want you to be in prayer, because that is exactly what Scripture is talking about, that we can bring people together, that we can build bridges, and we can have a problem conquered to beat this garbage. And it's so awesome to see the men and women who have conquered their addictions and are now involved in society, making a difference, working in our community, working in other communities. And that is what God wants to do, by bringing peace to our souls. And the menace to peace, as we already talked about, is sin. And a peacemaker makes peace by sowing righteousness. Peace and righteousness go hand in hand. And the only way we can get that is through our relationship with Christ, casting ourselves at his feet, surrendering to him, and allowing him to bring peace to our troubled souls, so that instead of getting mad at people who disagree with me, that I can pray for them, that I'm not going to lambast them. And I hear Facebook posts, I hear about them, and it does, it saddens me to hear some of the things that I hear that are being posted on Facebook. And we have to realize our mission field is the people around us, the people we disagree with. And guess what? If I win them politically to my side of the aisle, but I don't win them spiritually, then I've lost the most important battle. But if I win them spiritually, they come to Christ, and guess what? There's going to be a change in perspective. There's going to be a change in how we look at our country, and we look at our world. And that's what our calling is. And another paradox here about peace is that many times there is conflict in bringing peace. And again, just because we talk about peace, we all want to avoid needless strife, whether it be in a family, a business, or any other situation. But if we avoid conflict to the point of sacrificing truth, and that's just it, if we just say, oh, I'm just not going to even, and I know, I've got some people in my own family I have to be very careful around, because we could get into a big argument over things. How many can say, I understand, Pastor, yeah, it is, it's stuff. And but if we avoid conflict to the point of sacrificing truth, then we are compromising our principles and really don't have peace. And so the encouragement is, and this is where prayer comes in. It doesn't mean that we just, all right, Pastor said I'm going to go, so I'm going to go to my family member today and deal with them. It's like, nah, you better be in prayer and pray that God will bring the opportunity. And sometimes it takes years. Trust me. Trust me. Thankfully, I've seen some great breakthroughs, but sometimes it takes years. And Jesus said this, don't suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. And I thought, Scripture says, isn't he the Prince of Peace? And he's like, no. He says, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Now we say that is completely opposite of what we just read in the Beatitudes. What did Jesus mean when he said this? Jesus meant he did not come to bring peace at any price. He knew that there would be strife in order for there to be peace. He knew that conflict has to be resolved. Being a peacemaker in this world will be difficult, because we are told to bring truth to a world that loves falsehood, to a world that believes the lies right out of the pit of hell, that believes that, hey, freedom is to be able to do all the drugs, to do all, it's like, nah, That is a lie. It does not bring freedom. It brings enslavement. And that's the thing about sin. Satan promises all these great, oh, look at the fun that there is. And Scripture even says there's pleasure in sin for a short season. But what the devil never brings up is the consequences for that behavior, which is enslavement. And remember, Jesus said that he who the Son sets free, she who the Son sets free is free indeed. And the Jewish religious leaders were like, ah, we're not slaves to anybody. And he's like, oh, yes, you are. You're slaves to sin. You might think you're not slaves to the Romans, and they were actually under Roman rule at that time too in this world. But sin makes us a slave. And that's what Jesus came to bring out. And so sometimes when we talk like this, guess what? People in our families, they don't agree with us. And so it is. It's like they come after us. Jesus' own family, his own brothers. Remember at that point they came to, you know, Jesus is getting a little over the edge here, and they kind of wanted to talk to Jesus. And Jesus said, who are my brothers and my sisters? He says, everyone who listens to me. And thankfully, his brothers came around. Jude, the book of Jude, and the book of James are Jesus' brothers. They finally got it, but it took a while. And for a while, they were kind of against Jesus. And that's what happens. And we need to pray for our families in particular. And then as our families, it spreads to our friends, our neighbors, our community. And as we live out the truths of God's word in our lives and truly put it into practice, we can see that God will work powerfully for us. Love for truth, and we need to stand for truth. And as Jesus said, the truth sets us free. And when the truth sets us free, thank God, there is nothing to compare to it. True peace will come only when truth reigns. True peace comes only when truth is presented. It is not something obtained at any price. It is not calling a halt to shooting while we reload. True peace resolves a problem with the truth of God's word, which brings to bear the righteousness of God and our need to respond to him. And that's why you keep hearing me say from the pulpit here, America's hope is revival. We need to turn back to God. That's the only thing that can bring us back to where we need to be. And apart from that, and I think all of us can see, we're seeing some very, very serious threats to even our existence as a nation. That is how serious this is. It is very serious. And I think lots of people are waking up that it's not good, the things that are going on in the worldwide stage. And the World Economic Forum, I'm going to be talking about that, especially the last week of July, the 31st. We're going to look at some of the things that are coming out of this, that are statements that should make us all stand up and take note, like, what in the world are they planning? And it's not good. So those are the challenges we face, and we have a job to do in representing Jesus to the world. And so what is the merit of being a peacemaker? Those who are peacemakers in the biblical understanding of it will be called the sons and daughters of God. In Matthew 5:9, Jesus isn't just talking about the affection involved in being a son or daughter of God. He's talking about the dignity and honor of being a son and daughter of God. How can we tell who is a son or daughter of God? Peace should follow our ways. If we cause strife and division everywhere we go, if we cause arguments and fights, envy, jealousy, discord, sharp cutting words, there is something wrong. And sad to say, many times Christians act that way. They're like, rah, rah, rah. I keep telling you. It is. These kinds of traits from Christians should not be. And we need to die to our old ways, our old nature. And as we do, then God brings the peace that he longs to have in our hearts. Then we can help others come to peace with God. And if we are not peace with ourselves, with God, there is no way we can expect it in our other relationships. And that's why, thank God, as a church, we have been able to reach out into a community. Isn't it awesome where we can gather together with people from other churches? We're not in competition. We're on the same team. And that's what we need to do. And as Americans, we need to realize that too. Hey, we need to be on the same team here for America. What is best for America? And so God help us to be people of prayer and people saying, Lord, bring peace to my troubled soul. And if we haven't made peace with God this morning, may this morning be that time as we're going to go to a time of communion here, of sharing what Jesus has done for us. We're going to be praying a prayer of surrender to the Lord, that this would make peace with God in our hearts. And then again, that peace should translate to the world around us, because God wants to bring peace to each and every one of us. I want you to leave church today with peace in your heart, and at the same time that we need to be about our Father's business. Amen. Amen. Amen.